Again, we come in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and as we take a moment, Lord God, to look into your word, and today looking at encouragement, looking at how we need to be encouraged and how we need to encourage others. Lord God, may we be ministered to you by your word, and may we be challenged by your word. And we'll give you honor and we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You would turn with me to Acts chapter 11. We're going to be there in just a few minutes, looking at verses 19 to 26. And let me tell you, I was encouraged by District Assembly, and I was encouraged by getting with fellow ministers, and I'm encouraged by some of the powerful things that God is doing. But I want you to know that God is doing something in Middletown. God is doing something in our homes. God is doing something in our workplace. God is doing something in our schools if we'll only be sensitive to realize what God is doing and what he needs to do. We need to be encouragers, and we need to be encouraged, and we need to be less distracted by all the things that are going on. Lamoris Crawford was one of the speakers for the youth side of the convention. He's the chaplain of the Cincinnati Bengals, and he was there and shared his story of what happened on in his life, and it left a positive impact, because you realize that so many things were going against him, so many things that could have just literally buried him alive, and God in his mercy and his grace spoke through him and used those situations that he went through to make an impact. There probably wasn't a dry eye at one time when you think you have it bad, until you hear stories of someone else that has gone through so many things. And for him, he had a sense of humor, and he would constantly bring these to you and kind of like poke you with it, and then tell you, "Are you listening? Are you getting this? Oh, you should be excited about this. Or, you know, are you awake?" And had the people ministering. So, my prayer is that as we look at this portion of scripture this morning, that you would be encouraged, that you would take a hard look at how you could be more of an encourager. And if you're here this morning and you need encouraging, how you would want to draw closer to the Lord, draw close to your body of believers that you fellowship with, and allow God to do these amazing things. I think of Acts chapter 9, where Saul at the time, who became the Apostle Paul after his conversion, that's encouraging to me, because here in chapter 9, you see Saul as he's persecuting the church, as he thinks he's doing everything that he can to please his God, and you find that he has a relationship with Jesus Christ and an encounter with Jesus Christ, and it changed his life forever. How many know that a personal encounter is the only way that you're going to be able to change what God can do in your life? That personal encounter is where God meets you at where you're at and takes you where you need to be, and there's an encounter here that changes our lives. And then if you look at Acts chapter 11, you see Peter, who gets a vision from the Lord and sees all of these animals coming down, and realizes that God speaks to him and says, "What I say is pure, don't call unclean," and gets emotion and an idea of all these things that are going on, and he changes his lives. And it makes me see that we as Gentiles can enter into what God's goodness is. Say amen to that. That God loves us and decides that we're going to be a part of that. And the Lord shows Peter I think if I paraphrase it, he shows Peter that Christians ought to not have a sour face. You say amen to that? Shouldn't have a sour face no matter what we're going through, because God has done so much for us and continues to want to intervene in our life. And gosh, old day, some people just can't smile. Can you say amen to that? They just can't smile. I don't, you know, sometimes the longer you're around them, it feels like they've almost like threw up ugliness on you, because you walk away and you just wonder, like, wow, can't you be smiling? Can't you come and see what the good things that God's doing? Can't you find in your heart one encouraging word? And sometimes, you know, there's some people that just bless your socks off, and there's others that you feel like they stole your socks. I mean, you just miss out on all that God wants to do. And so we pick it up here as the church entering into Antioch, and I want to look at verse 19 in Acts chapter 11. Now those that had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw that the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. When he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Acts 13:15 says, "Brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, speak it." The Lord is looking for some people, amen, to be speaking words of encouragement. There is a lot of discouragement in the world today. God is looking for a few people that would step up to the plate and be an encouragement. To encourage someone is to put courage into them. To discourage would be to drain, to suck out, to take away and eliminate courage out of someone. To put hope into someone is to encourage them to realize that 70% of people today have a negative attitude. You say, man, 70% of people today have a negative attitude, and it takes 4 positive comments to take away the 4 negatives that's been put in your head, that's been drawn to you, and it has an effect on people, and it takes 4 positive comments to offset that 1 negative. And sometimes after being with someone, like I said, I almost feel dirty, because you feel like someone has just overwhelmed you and allowed you to just see all of the negativity. And Chuck Swindoll, in his book, he's got a book, Growing Deep in the Christian Faith, talks about a man ready to make a world voyage. And as he's going on this world voyage, he's got this little boat that he made and all these things that were involved there. And people just kept coming up to him. You're gonna fry in the sun. Your boat's gonna sink. You're gonna run out of food. You're gonna dehydrate. You know, your skin's gonna, you know, dry up from the sun and all these other things. And you'll never make it. And there was one guy listening to this, and he heard this, and he heard all of this discouragement and all the things that were going on, and he decided to offer up bon voyage. You can do this. You can make this. We're proud of you. You know, good luck and all these things. He decided that he was going to give a positive sense. And to me, I think we're all kind of in that boat. We're all in a lifeboat. We're all journeying. We're all needing someone to offer up hope. We're all needing someone to speak a word of encouragement. There's a lot of people that want to draw and pull from you, and they're not willing to encourage. They're more than willing to discourage. And God's looking for someone to say, if you have a word of encouragement for the people, speak it, to be it, to live it. Put on a smile. You know, I often say, man, you can kill them with kindness. Just go up to someone and give them a big smile. Make it one step from creepy. You know what I'm saying? Just make it one step from creepy, and just let them see that God is doing something good in our lives, and that you just refuse, that you're not going to have this lemon face. You're not going to be the one that just causes all these kinds of problems. James 3:2 says, we all stumble in many ways. anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. He's telling us it's got to be intentional. Make them wonder why you're happy. Make them wonder what's going on in your life. Instead of so many people just sharing their negative, you know why they're angry. You know why they're discouraged. Colossians 4:6 says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit who listen. If you have a word of encouragement for the people, speak it today. Every one of us has a gift. If you look at Romans 12, it tells all about 12 gifts that are included, including encouragement. To me, encouragement is an action word. You can't do encouragement without showing it, without speaking it, without living it. It's an action word, and what it actually means is to come alongside of somebody and get involved in their lives. You're going to decide intentionally that you're going to put encouragement and courage into somebody. Instead of sucking what little bit they have out, you're going to give them encouragement. It's willing to separate yourself from your world to go into somebody else's world and make a difference, to share with them, to allow them to sense it and see it. Every one of us is called to be a servant. Every one of us is called to encouragement. That's what our Bible tells us. That's what the Word of God tells us. Proverbs says, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes other will himself be refreshed. Can you say amen? How many times have you went to someone and you wanted to offer up encouragement, but the longer you talk to them, that you see that you're making a difference, and pretty soon they start blessing you right back? Because why? Because they were so bone dry that somebody offering up encouragement to them, somebody offering them something that they were lacking, just created an overflow, and they began giving it back. They began showing you that, you know what, God is using them. You thought you were being used by God, and you were, but then God turns it around and allows them to come back and be touching your lives. That's what we talked about last week, about being a disciple, about wanting to share in what God is doing and being a living sacrifice and being transformed and open and transparent, allowing God to be able to do that, committing to the things of God, and wanting God to be pleased with what you're doing and how you're touching people's lives. Do you realize if believers would touch other people's lives the way they're supposed to, what this world would look like? That'd be a good place to say amen. That'd be a good place to reflect on you know, Betty's statement when she said about meeting people and deciding, you know what, God, give me the heart for my neighbor that I should have. Not my words, that was Betty's words. That as people just see you, that there's something drawing them close to your Lord, something drawing them close to being encouragement, something that's drawing them to know that if I just hang around this person, my life's going to be different. If I just hang around this person, I'm going to see a little bit of Jesus. If I hang around this person, maybe I'll find out why he or she is so happy and going and living their lives. Today's society is so critical, and their attitude is like the first thing to tear down. Now, I'm a city boy, and I'll be the first one to tell you that growing up in Milwaukee, that, you know, you didn't just say hi to every single person you went past. There was too many. And, you know, as long as they weren't bothering you, you kept walking. Then I moved to this little town of Higgins, and God gave me my first church. And everybody knows everybody. There's only one really kind of main intersection. And then, you know, it wasn't be like, what's your name? It's like, who's your dad? Who do you belong to? That was the first thing that I heard a week after being there. It's like, who do you belong to? I said, what do you mean? Who do I belong to? I belong to my parents, but they're not here. Do you see what I'm saying? The attitude needs to change. And it was like a vast contrast. It was like so many people in that city, you just go about your thing and you don't see anybody. You see somebody on the side, you see a homeless person, you see somebody in need, you see somebody that really could use a touch, but you're so used to seeing it that you just walk on by or you think somebody else has to. And then you get in a small town where it's a little more compact and you see that you need to respond. Because if you don't respond, they're going to ask you, who do you belong to? Where do you come from? Why are you here? Zabolski, my last name, sitting in Higgins. They knew I was, they thought I was from this Mount Carmel area up above that was miles away. And I tell a Milwaukee man, it was like, what? What are you doing here? Again, why are you here? So you go through all of these kinds of questions, but you see that we're called to be servants. We're called to be encouragers. We're called to give account of our faith. And a lot of times it was I was able to share because they were intrigued that, you know, this Polish guy was in a Dutch area. 35-year friends stuck it out with me, decided that they were going to give up on me. Today, the society sees the glass half full instead of half empty. That sees that encouragers need to be the ones bringing somebody up the ladder rather than society. As soon as somebody's trying to get up the ladder, they're the ones pushing them down, feeling that they're going to take their spot, draining every bit of hope out of them. We need to be people that are filling people with hope, being the encouragement, being the one that shows them that they have purpose. As an encourager, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you can change people's lives. Say amen to that. Amen. You can change people's lives. You can make a difference. William Arthur Ward says, flatter me and I may not believe you. Criticize me and I may not like you. Ignore me and I may not forgive you. Encourage me and I will never forget you. So why do we encourage others? Because God says so. Because people need encouragement. Because all of us need it. So what, you know, in our times that we need it, I pray that someone would be that encourager to you. At other times when you see others that need encouragement, I pray that you would be the one that would offer up encouragement. Everyone needs to feel wanted. Everyone needs to be appreciated. Everyone needs to know that they have purpose. And we as encouragers could be the ones that would be able to do that, that we can feel that way about somebody and allow people to achieve greater heights because we're involved in their lives. I believe in each and every one of us. I believe God gives us each a ministry, that each one of us has a purpose, that not only our own purpose for our own lives and our family and our communities, but each one of us has a perfect purpose because you may be the one that can be an encouragement to someone today that changes their lives, that turns a corner maybe today that we can see that we encourage because God has the big picture and we're in it. And we have purpose in that for others. I think of the illustration of Jean Nidetch, and I think I'm pronouncing her words right and her name right. She was a 214-pound homemaker, desperate to lose weight. She went to New York Department of Health, and she was advised by this Dr. Norman Joleff that he had a plan that could cause her to lose weight. And months later, she still had 50 pounds to lose, and she was discouraged. She saw results, but she didn't know why she wasn't losing this weight, and she was invited over the 6 weeks to come and share this diet and share with other people and get in this room, and she decided that she was going to take it and open it up to other people. 28 years later, 250,000 Weight Watcher groups start every week. Because she felt that she couldn't do it alone, that she was not going to be able to do this, but with the help of others, she would be able to control her eating, control her life, control how she acts. And when she got involved, she said this, what changed her mind, and I love this, she says this. She said when she was a teenager, she used to cross a park where she saw mothers gossiping while the toddlers sat on their swings with no one to push them. She said, I decided that I was going to give them a push. And you know what happens when you give someone a push? She says, pretty soon they're pumping and doing it themselves. She said that eventually in her life, she wanted to be the one that would cause someone to begin to able to push themselves and accomplish great things. And that's what God's wanting to do in our lives. Swindoll says this. He says, I am more convinced than ever that life's major pursuit is not knowing self, but knowing God. As a matter of fact, unless God is the major pursuit of our lives, all other pursuits are dead-end streets, including to try to know ourselves. They won't work. They won't satisfy. They won't result in fulfillment. They won't do for us what we think they should do. True encouragement is a godly manner. It'll point people to Jesus. It'll cause us to walk closer to God. And as I wind this down, you see, encouragement is a kind of expression that helps someone get to a better spot. Amen? It helps someone get to a better spot. It helps them to achieve their purpose and their goals. It allows them to know that they're not trying to do these things in themselves. To encourage someone is to inspire someone. The Bible tells us to encourage one another daily. It begins to be a habit. It begins to be a lifestyle. It begins to be what is needed for us. It's kind of like just like breathing. You don't think about breathing. After a while, it becomes a habit. You do it all the time. When you stop doing it, there's a problem. It becomes to be a problem. We choose to be joyful. We choose to be encouraging. We choose to walk with God. We choose to get involved in people's life. It has to be intentional. Book of Hebrews tells us, let us consider how we may spur one another on. I need you, and you need me, and we need each other to be able to do these things. Barclay says this, it's easy to laugh at man's ideals, easy to discourage. The world is full of those kind of people. We have a duty to encourage one another. Many a time, a word of praise, appreciation, or a cheer has kept a man on his feet. Amen? So many stories, especially in our Celebrate Recovery groups and some of the men's ministry and some of the different things, you hear these stories of people that just needed someone to cheer them on. That cloud of witness, so to speak, that is going to help them through. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer someone. Verse 16, standing up, Paul mentioned with his hand, and he says, men of Israel and you of Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. And he began to encourage them. And this morning I'm asking you, will you take a stand? Will you be the one that lifts their hand and say, listen to me, I got something to say. I have a word of encouragement that I want to speak to you. Realize that for some that desperately need encouragement, the sun will shine. S-O-N, the sun will shine again. If we keep our eyes on the Lord. Hebrews 10:23 and 24 says, let us hold fast the benediction and confession of our faith and hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love. Amen? How many can encourage someone today? How many are willing to be sensitive that I love that verse. It's going to stick that phrase, it's going to stick in my head for a long time. No invisible people. Can you say amen to that? No invisible people. That be sensitive to who you can minister to, who you can talk to. See, we can't save anyone, but we can be a tool that God can use. We can be an encouragement. We can be a light to those that are living around us. They got to make their own decision for Christ, but we can point them in the right direction. We can be an encouragement to, you know what? Help your neighbor. Help someone at work. Understand what's going on. You know, people see us taking off on Sunday morning, going to church, and they're wondering what are they getting out of that? Especially if they're not church, and we see a whole age group now that has not been in church. They don't have any idea what's going on in church, what's supposed to happen in church. They see us going, and as soon as I wonder what they're doing. I just wonder if sometimes they don't have the next question in their heads, why wouldn't they invite me to go if it's so good? If it's so good, why wouldn't they invite me to go? So this morning we get challenged. We get asked these questions and we need to take a hard look at it. I think we all need kind of that district assembly moment where we get energized, we get pumped up, we get around somebody that's just had an encounter with God in some respect, that it offers up hope for us. That's why I keep preaching all these years about getting into small groups and in men's and women's and community days and VBS and all the things that we do. Why? Because we need each other. We need those moments of encouragement. We need that. You know, the devil's best deal is when he can isolate you, when he can keep you by yourself. So my get with somebody. Be encouraged and be an encouragement. Amen? Father, we just come to you, and this word is for every single one of us. We're not here by accident. The word wasn't proclaimed today from this portion of Scripture by accident. It's because it's a word that's needed. This world desperately needs to see and experience encouragement. Help us today, Lord God, to be that for someone. And may someone be that for each and every one of us when we need it. In Jesus' name, amen.